Today's Mishnah Masechet Yadayim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Yadayim Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet. So you'll recall we moved from the cases of Tumas Yadayim into various other things that had been discussed on that day, and they came up with a psak, just like the psak about Tumas Yadayim with Kisvei HaKodesh, which we started off discussing Kohelet and Shir HaShirim. So we started talking about other things, and we'll see that these other things bring us back, in a sense, to where we started from, which has to do with the Tumas Yadayim of the Sfarim, which is why we have this like long group of things that took place on Bo Bayom. Bo Bayom referring to the day that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah was actually made into the new Nasi, and Rebbe Gamliel lost his job. Okay, so this is a different issue, and this is the question of how to apply the Isser of Amoni Umoavi, Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem, even Dor Asiri Lo Yavo Lahem Bekal Hashem, Miyolo. So Bo Bayom, so that day, this Ger, who was Yehuda Ger Amoni, he comes in front of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah and the Sanhedrin, into the Beis HaMedrash, and he says to them, I am a Ger Amoni. Ma ani lavo bekahal? Can I marry or not? So, apparently, and the Gemara is actually medayik this so beautifully, Gemara says in Brochas, that you see that on the very day that he was fired, you'd think Rabbi Gamliel wouldn't show up to the Sanhedrin. He's furious. He's embarrassed. No. He was standing right there. This newcomer, little 18-year-old, was there. He was the new Nazi. Rabbi Gamliel was there. And Rabbi Gamliel said to him, no, you're not allowed to marry. And Rabbi Yeshua says to him, no, you are allowed to marry. Said Rabbi Gamliel, you are allowed to marry. I mean, you know, I'm assuming you're smart enough to have read the holy book. You know, it does say in that holy book, Lo yavo amoni umoavi bekal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo lahem. What are you talking about? How could you tell a ger amoni that he's allowed to marry into the kahal? That's crazy. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Well, what do you think? That this guy, because he comes from Ammon, therefore, he's a Ger Amoni? Is that what you think? You think that the people that are living currently in Ammon are actually Ammonim and Moavim? V'chi Ammonim and Moavim b'mekomotim? They're not in their place. Remember that when Sancheriv showed up, he was Mibalbel Kol Ha'umot, as we see in the Pasuk. And when Sancheriv, he had this incredible idea that instead of simply turning these defeated countries into people that would then provide resources and so on for his great Malucha of Ashur, he decided if you displace them and you now have other populations there, they'll never come back and we'll be basically in charge forever. All we need is a Palestinian restoration. You know, that never occurred to him, that people who never lived anywhere will decide that they always lived there. That was beyond even Sancheriv's idea. It's a new, brilliant concept, which, of course, comes of Basher Husham. They create reality wherever they are. It's a new reality. But they didn't have those people in those days. So he thought that he had this brilliant new tactic that would allow Ashur to be in charge of these lands forever and ever because the indigenous population was gone. And we see this in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this guy thinks he's so smart. Shenemar, yeah, he says, V'asir gvulot amim, I have changed the borders of all of the nations. V'atudoteyem shoseiti, I took all of their resources and all of their futures. Atudoteyem, beautiful word. All of the resources and the futures of these countries, I have plundered them. Ve'orid kabir yoshavim. And I have basically brought everybody who lives there down. Okay, so that's what he thinks, says Yeshayahu. But anyway, he definitely did achieve the Asir Gvulot Amim. So what makes you think that this guy who claims to be from Ammon has anything to do with the nation of Ammon that the Torah was referring to. He just lives in that land. Amalo Rabbi Gamliel, excuse me, but the pasuk says ve'achrechein ashivet shivut b'nei Ammon. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's going to be a recapitulation of that golus, and they're going to come back to their land. So apparently they've come back to their land, the Kvar Chazru. So if this guy is a ger from Ammon, this is actually, assumably, Ammon, the Kvar Chazru, which, I mean, it seems to be saying that this already happened. So if he came from Ammon, he should be Aser. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, that's interesting because it says exactly the same words about Veshavti et Shavut Ami Yisrael. I haven't seen them come back yet. So why do you assume that Ammon gets back before Klal Yisrael gets back? Adayin lo shavu. So we have no reason to assume that that guarantee to Ammon that that already happened. So we have no reason to assume that this Yehuda is actually a ger from Ammon. He's just a guy. And therefore, he can marry. V'hitiruhu lavo b'kahal. And the Sanhedrin paskened, actually, like Rabbi Yeshua, and they were mater him. And in fact, that's exactly what the Rambam paskens, kvar ola, that bedavka kvar ola sancherev, and he was mevalbo kolo umais, and therefore called a parish, miruba kaparish, and there's no longer any iser that is based on coming from a particular location. Perek Daled Mishnah Hey.
Rabbi, so I just wanted to add that that Tiglat Pileser, those two kings before, started this policy. And maybe what we have to apply is the Gemara that says Husan Cherev, who Tiglat Pileser, and it's a general name. But it started 10, 20 years beforehand. It's an Assyrian
policy. It doesn't say in the Pasuk Sancheirev, it just says Asher. So it's, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think they found a scroll that says that Tel Aviv University was originally part of Alexandria, and it was moved over by Sancheirev so that it shouldn't be considered part of it, something like that. But I'll have to look up the details. Okay, Perek Dalet Mishnah Hey. Now, this brings us back to where we were before. And that is, we're going back to the din of Tumas Yadayim. So this is why these halachas, they start with the Tumas Yadayim. Now the question is, what about Targum? So Targum, does it still have the same din when it's part of the Kisvei HaKodesh? Because look, there's a lot of Ezra and Daniel that are written mamish in Aramaic, right? And therefore, you'd say, okay, if it's not written in Lashon HaKodesh, then it doesn't have the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh. However, says the Mishnah, a Targum piece of Ezra and Daniel is still considered to be Kisvei HaKodesh, and therefore it is actually Metame Es HaYadayim. So over here you have, look, we're talking about over here, obviously, I mean, you can have Targum even in the Chumash, you have Yagar Sadus and so on, which we discuss, but you don't have Pei Hei Osios. And remember that Pei Hei Osios are the Shear of the Sefer. But there, Bedavke and Ezra and Daniel, you have Pei Hei Osios completely, and it would therefore, you would think that, okay, maybe they're considered to be a separate book and they're not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Kamash Malam, that they are. But if you took that Targum and you translated it and you wrote it out in Lashon HaKodesh, so Targum Sheketavo Ivrit, so let's say you went ahead and you translated. Or if you took some of the Ivrit and you figured, let me make the entire scroll here an Aramaic scroll so that it's consistent, it's not mixed in the language, or you took the Ivrit in it and you wrote it Targum, or if you did not write it in Ktav Ivri, but you wrote it in, I mean, you didn't write it in Ktav Ashuris, you wrote it in Ktav Ivri, then that is not considered to be Kodesh, and because of that, it would not be Matami HaSeyadayim. So the only time that we made the Takana was if it's actually written in the original language of that particular scroll, including Ezra, Daniel, those parts that are in Dafka in Aramaic, and it was written with the osios of the Ktav, in other words, of the Ktav Ashurit. The Olam Eino Mitame Ach Yechtevenu Ashurit, and not if it's printed, it has to be written, and it has to be written on cloth, on skin, and that means it can't be written. When we say Allah, or it doesn't have to be cloth, obvious, it doesn't have to be dursustis, but it does have to be worked or, so needs to be at least salted and so on. And you need to write on it with a long-lasting diyo. But if it doesn't, it doesn't have a din of kisvei hakodesh, and it's not metame tumat hayadayim. I think we can do one more. Shall we do one more, or is it too much? Go ahead. Perek Daled Mishnah Vav. So, the Tzedukim essentially were very, very perturbed by this crazy halacha that the Kisvei HaKodesh are Matame Yadayim, but Homer is not Matame Yadayim. Does that make sense? I mean, it makes no sense. You guys are crazy. Kovlimanu Alechem Purushim. We think you guys are nuts. Shatem Omrim. Kitvei HaKodesh Metamim Et HaYadayim. But Sifrei Homerim Eino Metamim Et HaYadayim. That doesn't make any sense to me. This simply means not Homer, but Hamir, meaning it's a Tmura of Kedusha to Tuma. So it's basically Sifrei meaning. So, okay, fine. But whatever, the point is, I mean, if you're going to tell me that a Sefer Torah is Matamei HaSeyadayim, so you're telling me that Nabokov is not Matamei HaSeyadayim, that's ridiculous. That's pure Tuma. Why wouldn't it be Matamei HaSeyadayim? Makes no sense. Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, good heavens, my dear Tzedukim, that's the only thing you have to say about the Purushim. I mean, they say something even more insane than that. They say that if you have bones of a dead chamor, it's not metame, right? Because there's no din of tumah on atzamot of an animal. But Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he is metame. Ha! They're crazy. A chamor is not metame, but Yochanan Kohen Gadol, a person who's so Kurdish, is metame. Same problem. I mean, it's the same idea. Sefer Torah is metame, but the chamor who's Homer is not metame. So how come you stop there? So, the Purushim have been crazy for a long time. Now, as far as I know, even the Tzedukah didn't come up with that one. Why not? No, come on. That's just sophistry. L'fichi matan heitu matam. The more chaviv the person is, or the organism is, the more likely it is to be tummy. Because if you don't make it tummy, shelo yaseh adam atzmot avivi mot arvadot, what do you want to do? You want to have people making totems out of the bones of their parents. I mean, if you wouldn't have had a din of tumah, so then people would have related to bones the way these Christians relate to bones. Now they make them into holy objects, so people would want to preserve their parents, you know, so maybe they'll turn them into gloves or into holy spoons. That's all that we need. But a donkey, so the Torah didn't say a donkey should be tameh. Omar Lam, Sir Rabbi Yochanan said to them, exactly. Av kitfei HaKodesh, l'fichi batani timatam. The more chaviv it is, the more likely it is to be metame. Not the way you're saying it. Therefore, we made the takana on kitfei HaKodesh. V'sifrei Homer, she'enam chavivim. Who cares about those books? Enam mitamin ha'sayatayim. We have no interest in them because we have no need to protect them. But the Kisvei HaKodesh, we need to protect, to make sure that you don't put truma next to them and bring the mice and the rats to eat them. And because of that, we made our gezeirah. Why should we protect Homer? And now we have a word from our very own Yadayim.
It seems that the Tzedukim aren't exactly thinking it through, because the Yochanan died, and that's why he's Tamei. Whereas Kitvei Kodesh are alive and they're Tamei. That's really the question.
Yeah, Yochanan ben Zakkai is just tweaking them a bit.
But isn't it interesting that he turned off at the end of his life? Isn't he the example of Al Tamin Batzmecha Ad Yom Moscha, because he became a kofer at the end? At Stuki at the end? Isn't that Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol?
This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai we're talking about.
No, but his example is Yochanan Kohen Gadol, the holiest of the holy. I thought that was very interesting.
I hear. Yeah, maybe they even had that in mind. Who knows? I don't know if it's that Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Remember, it's all a big question of who it's really referring to. Okay, Rabbi Zai, looking forward to more incredible Nisim. One of our big avedas, I think, is supposed to be awareness of those Nisim, you know? But maybe not. Listen, you see, for the 12 months it was going, 10 months it was going on in Mitzrayim, the Bnei Yisrael are just sort of, they're never even mentioned. Seems everybody was busy watching TV or looking at their cell phones while all of this crazy stuff is going on. Well, Paro's going to give in now for sure. Never, we shall never give in. Okay, fine. So we're going to destroy them completely, I'm afraid. So what can you do? Yeah.
I was thinking of that because Rebbe raised that. The difference here is that we're fighting. Our families are fighting. Our brothers and sisters are fighting. So their lives are on the line in the effort.
Yeah, but the that makes it even more difficult to be Makir the Nisim. I mean, the Nisim are insane. There's no such things have happened in human history, you understand, in the history of warfare.
I was telling people I have the Gretz history of the Jewish people on the shelf next to the Sallow Baron history of the Jewish people. They're now ridiculous. Like, whatever you thought it was, you haven't seen anything like it. It's not just outdated, it's irrelevant.
Yeah. So. Mamish amazing. Okay, so it could be we have I don't think it's 10 months, but I mean, there's this sort of hiatus between the events and the final impact of those events.
Did you ever see the Bnei Yisachar that's going around?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Barnea, you were right at the beginning of the series. You stood in season one.
That's right, the series.
That was an amazing piece with the series.
Yeah, Bezrat Hashem. Bezrat Hashem. Listen, it's weird. Yeah. Okay, there's lots to speak about, but that's why we don't speak. To see you all. Go to everyone. Wonderful news and happy day.